Hello, welcome to Eternal Good News. The Passover was given by God to the children of Israel to be a memorial that God passed over them when he killed the firstborn of the land of Egypt. They were saved from death that night. Exodus chapter 12, verse 14. The Passover was also given to be a memorial that God brought them out of the land of Egypt, out from bondage, from slavery. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 3. Next we shall read about when Jesus ate the Passover with his apostles. This is recorded in Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 15. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Luke chapter 22, verses 15 through 20. How is the Passover fulfilled in the kingdom of God? Jesus said it would be. Listen now to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Yes, Jesus the Messiah is our Passover. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. "He was sacrificed one time for all." Read the Hebrew prophet Isaiah chapter 53. He wrote, "He was led as a lamb to the slaughter." Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. "For the transgression of my people he was stricken." Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities." Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. The Passover is fulfilled in Jesus the Messiah, the Lamb of God, in his kingdom. In accordance with Psalm 110, the 110th Psalm, Messiah is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The 110th Psalm, verse 4, which is quoted in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 17. Jesus the Messiah is the only high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Listen now to Hebrews chapter 7, beginning at verse 26. "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinner, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself." Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26 and 27. Do you understand this? Jesus, Messiah, offered up himself as a sacrifice for sins one time for all. Jesus, Messiah, is the only sacrifice for sin. He was offered one time for all. He is the only high priest. The eating of bread and drinking of the fruit of the vine, as Jesus commanded, is not offering Jesus again as a sacrifice for sin. That was done one time for all. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. There is no valid priesthood today which offers up sacrifices for sins. Those who say that they do so are mistaken. Jesus commanded us to eat the bread in remembrance of his body. Jesus commanded us to drink the fruit of the vine in remembrance of his blood. Listen now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. When Jesus told the apostles concerning the bread, "Take, eat, this is my body," his body had not yet been offered. His body was there before them. The same is true for the fruit of the vine. When Jesus told the apostles in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, concerning the fruit of the vine, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins," his blood was still in his body. Obviously, Jesus was not speaking literally, but spiritually. It is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The answer to these questions is yes. Yes, it is the communion of the blood of Christ. It is the communion of the body of Christ. Notice that this is called communion, which has also been translated fellowship, participation, sharing, from the Greek word koinonia. Listen now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. The breaking of bread, communion, is partaken of at the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21, we read the Lord's Supper. So then, in the Word of God, the breaking of bread is called communion, the Lord's Supper. It is never called the Mass. It is partaken of at the Lord's table, not at an altar. The Lord's Supper is not a Mass. The Lord's table is not an altar. Jesus, Messiah, offered himself one time for all, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. Jesus is not offered again and again on the altar of the Mass. The Lord's Supper, communion, the breaking of bread is done in remembrance of Jesus. We are to remember that Jesus gave his body as a sacrifice for us, and that his blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus also said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." We also need to remember that there is a new covenant that we are under. Yes, eating the bread and drinking the fruit of the vine is a time to remember, a time of communion, fellowship, participation. When Jesus gave the cup, he said, "Drink from it, all of you." All Christians are to both eat of the bread and drink of the fruit of the vine. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through verse 28. Listen now to Matthew chapter 26, verse 29. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Matthew chapter 26, verse 29. The Lord's Supper is in the kingdom. Christ is with us. Messiah is with us. Jesus promised that, as recorded in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Yes, the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, the communion, is in the kingdom. And Jesus, the Messiah, our King, is with us. When are Christians to assemble to have the Lord's Supper, to break bread? Let us look at the New Covenant and see what the first Christians did who were under the leadership of the Holy Spirit-guided apostles of Christ. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Listen also to Acts chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. "But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Acts chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. Notice the Christians met on the first day of the week for the purpose of breaking bread. This was after the Passover. Paul, the apostle, and the others with him waited a week until the congregation met on the first day of the week to break bread. This is the Lord's Supper, and not a common meal, because they would not have waited a week to have a common meal. Their purpose for gathering on the first day of the week was to break bread. And then Paul preached to them also. We need to follow this apostolic approved example and meet on the first day of the week for the Lord's Supper, to break bread as Jesus commanded. Jews met on the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath. Christians meet on the first day of the week, the day that the Lord Jesus the Messiah was raised from the dead. The Lord's Supper needs to be observed every first day of the week, because that is the purpose of the gathering. Preaching, praying, singing, and giving are also a part of worship under the new covenant, but the Lord's Supper is the main reason for assembling together, for gathering. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins." Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. The Lord's Supper is a proclamation of the death of Jesus the Messiah until he comes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. You need to believe in Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and to confess him. And you need to repent and be baptized, immersed, in the name of Jesus Messiah for the forgiveness of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, that Jesus' blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. The same exact Greek phrase is used in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that baptism is also for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. If you would like a free copy of this study, a free New Testament, or a free Bible correspondence course, please write to Congregation of Messiah, Box 5333, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083, United States of America. That is Box 5333. Edmond is spelled E-D-M-O-N-D. Oklahoma is abbreviated OK. The postal index zip code is 73083. United States of America. Thank you for being with me. This is Jermaine Lockwood. Have a good eternity.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.